The Summit Theater Group at MCC Longview Cultural Arts Center presents Rocky Horror Show on October 7th and 8th, as well as the 14th through the 16th, complete with sass from the audience, cascading toilet paper, and array of audience participation props for this deliberately kitschy rock and roll sci-fi gothic. MCC Longview Cultural Arts Center is at 500 Southwest Longview Road in Lee's Summit. The Lenexa Parks and Recreation at the Lenexa City Hall present the latest installment of City Center Live on October 8th at 6:30 p.m., featuring Mortal Coil in an evening of dance, poetry, and music through a series of choreographed, improvised, and singular moments. Lenexa City Hall is at 17101 West 87th Street Parkway in Lenexa. The Lee's Summit Oktoberfest Art and Craft Show will be on October 7th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and October 8th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the pavilion at the John Knox Village. Over 100 booths with a wide variety of products to enjoy and help you prepare for your fall festivities. Featured will be handcrafted items, fabric art, books, photography, baked goods, ceramics, pottery, jewelry, and much more. This event is a fundraiser for the Metropolitan Organization to Counter Sexual Assault. For more information on these and the many events that have been recently added, go to kkfi.org/artskcgo.
Hello, this is Marion Ross. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
About it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people, they smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far, that night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. Before the show has started, that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your papa has parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will hold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold.
Hello to all of you out there. Hello and welcome to today's edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on the what is proving to be a lovely Monday out there. Going to be 30, though, as I understand it, later in the week. I don't know about that. As you listen, of course, to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station. Right here in Kansas City, we're getting into the fall seasons of a lot of the arts groups here in town. Today, we're going to talk to a couple of them and find out what's going on with them. Our first stop along the path And boy, I always enjoy talking with this man, Devin Carney. He is the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet. They are presenting Giselle starting on Friday, October the 14th at 7:30. Do I have you on the line right now, Mr. Carney?
You do, and thank you so much for the invitation to come and speak with you about this wonderful ballet.
Always nice to have Devin. He's always so informative, and Devin is one who likes changes. He likes to do things a little differently and all of that, and I'm sure that's no different. Giselle, I looked it up even. Giselle was last performed in Kansas City in 2015.
That's right.
You were here then, but I'll bet you have a lot of changes to go on it when you open on the 14th.
Well, you know, the funny thing about Giselle, first of all, is, you know, it's like a 180-some-year-old ballet. It's one of the oldest continually existing ballets. It was made in 1841. So it's been around a while, you know, change is inevitable with a ballet that's been around that long. And in 2015, that was the production that I staged of my idea of what Giselle is, and so it's coming back for another round here in 2022. And, you know, there's slight changes. I wouldn't say there's a tremendous amount because it's such a great classic, and I respect the integrity of the history of the work and want that to be present on stage for our Kansas City audiences.
I found my old notes. Believe it or not, you don't want to go through my folders. But I found your notes, and you were talking about Giselle, and you told me, because I made a note, the music was so haunting.
Oh, well, absolutely. It's by Adolphe Adam. And it is tremendously haunting. And of course, you know, the whole second act is pretty much a haunting act with the Willies, who are in the graveyard in second act. And, you know, of course, we all know that phrase, "I was so scared I got the Willies." Well, this is where it comes from. It is just, you know, a very eerie scene that is the entire second half of the evening.
Yeah. Speaking with Devin Carney, he is the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet, and we're talking about Giselle. That's the first show coming up of the 22-23 season, and the number, by the way, if we've already sparked an interest, 816-931-8993, or online at kcballet.org. Yes, Haunting and the Willies, and, you know, that's... The month of October is good for shows like that, don't you think?
Oh, gee, what do you know? That's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, that would be, wouldn't it?
Yes, it definitely is a wonderful time of year for something like that to happen. So we certainly were somewhat conscious of that, although, you know, it's at that time. The last, you know, it was last done 7 years ago. So, you know, it's a different generation of dancers who are now taking on lead roles. And I'm excited to bring that to them as well, of course, to give that opportunity to be able to dance these incredibly well-known roles and continue the lineage of artists who have performed these roles since, you know, 1841.
Sure. Now, you hail from the musical city of New Orleans.
That's right.
And New Orleans is known to celebrate such things as Day of the Dead. And in fact, they probably have a parade down there. Lord knows they celebrate everything else. They probably celebrate that as well.
Well, I guess you could say there is a little bit of Day of the Dead when you get to the act two of this ballet.
Sure. Sure.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about some of your performers? Sometimes I don't ask you about individuals, but you go ahead if you wish.
Sure. Well, a tremendous amount of the dancers who will be performing the lead roles are individuals who haven't had a shot at that, which I'm really excited about, just like I said earlier, to have a chance to take on these incredibly iconic roles. such as we were talking about Day of the Dead, the role of Myrta, which is the lead Willie. She's the commander of all of the Willies in Act Two, which, you know, she's the one who commands these women to make a male who might wander into this graveyard to dance to his death. And, of course, we have some spectacular women who are performing that lead role, such as Whitney Huell, who is bringing her extraordinary elevation to this production, as well as Tara Mejia and Courtney Knitting. They're all three of them are doing spectacular jobs in the rehearsal room, and we can't wait, of course, to put that out on stage. And it's new for all of them, which is really exciting to see. There's also, of course, the role of Hilarion, which is the young man who is a peasant and who really cares about the lead role of Giselle, and kind of like the guy next door, let me put it that way. And I'm really excited to see individuals like Josh Bowden and Cameron Thomas and Kevin Wilson to be able to take on that role. And that's a really important role in the ballet because, you know, the first act is basically kind of a love triangle between Hilarion and Giselle and more immediate love, that being Albrecht. But Hilarion has to be this compassionate, caring individual, and I'm really thrilled to see these three gentlemen take that on. Then there's the role of Albrecht, which is being performed by three wonderful guys in the company, which I'm really excited about, Paul Zusai and Andrew Vetcheri. It's just been really exciting to hear about their tales of enjoying taking on this really iconic role, which is really exciting for me to see. And then there's, of course, the lead role of Giselle, which this is like one of those milestone markers for a woman who is a ballerina or who is, you know, at that point in her career to accept that kind of incredible responsibility to carry the title role throughout the entire work. And it's a tour de force, I have to say. Unlike Swan Lake, for instance, with Odette Odile, which is a technical tour de force, more so than this one. This is more of an artistic tour de force, which you can't see the difficulty in it because she has to do everything so softly, especially in Act Two. But the three women performing that are Emily Mastretta, Amaya Rodriguez, and Kalina Burks, and they're all doing a great job in the rehearsal room. So those are the lead roles that you will see and be impressed by. I will say very much impressed by.
Very much, yes, yes, indeed. People have asked me, I have an answer, but I think it's better if I ask you the question.
Okay.
And the question is, how does it work in the opera world, for instance? Do you mostly cast dancers that have been with a company and kind of grown up in it, so to speak? Or do you do like some of the sports teams do and go the free agent route with dancers?
We don't. We're a resident company, and we have a beautiful second company that is a younger group that is in our full-length productions that do the supporting roles, and we have a main company of fabulous artists that are more advanced in their careers, and they're all residents of Kansas City and are performing in all works we do throughout the course of the season.
And we often see them around town. At least I recognize some of them at other events around town, of course. But but they work for you. Do they get an off season? Probably not too much. Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, the arts performance performing arts season. You know, it's generally the end of May, and then it starts up again. You know, right now in the early October, late September, early October time period. So those summer months are pretty much an opportunity for them to be able to experiment with different ideas of things to do with their careers and you know, things beyond dance, which is really, as a dancer, I always enjoyed that time to step away from it a little bit. And of course, your body needs some rest. You know, these are professional athletes that are on stage. They are highly tuned instruments of grace and power at the same time. And there is a moment, you know, every year where your muscles just need to relax and your joints need to recuperate, because they go under a lot of stress over the course of a season. And, you know, these artists are giving up their most powerful years of their life to this art form for our community, and they do need that rest.
Yes, it has to be. It has to be very difficult on the body at times.
Oh yeah.
I guess a particular exercise, probably a lot of exercise routines, and perhaps mm-hmm. massages and steams and things like that.
My goodness, there's so much that they do besides just rehearse. For one of the most immediate things they do is, prior to a full day of rehearsal, which is 6 hours on their feet, learning and rehearsing works that are being will be performed. They also do this thing we call ballet class. It's not like an academic class where you sit and open up notebooks and listen to a teacher. You know, they're on their feet and they're warming up their muscles, and they go through a sort of a very predetermined order of exercises. And those exercises can vary, but they're generally the same type of exercise. And that lasts an hour and a half. So basically, an artist is on their feet just in a normal work day for 7.5 hours. Plus, you know, a lot of them hit the gym, go to Pilates machines, go to gyrotonics, and do additional workout exercises that just specifically condition certain muscle groups, which I did, of course, as a dancer as well. And then there's the rehabilitation things, which are, you know, physical therapy, acupuncture, massage, chiropractic care, foot care, especially for women with the pointe shoes. So there, it's a tremendous amount of things that a dancer does in the course of just a simple week while they're on contract and working and preparing for our shows.
Sure. Speaking with the artistic director at the ballet, Devin Carney, he is known for his choreography, new choreography generally. Is anything new in Giselle?
Well, first of all, a lot of new individuals, like I said earlier, which I'm really excited about. I think that we've added a little bit more technical difficulty to it, which you may not, if you were to put the two shows back to back, what we did in 2015 and this one, you might see it if you saw each scene exactly right after each other, but you won't notice it unless you have a brilliant memory, Michael. it just added a little technical difficulty to it. But the main thing about this show is this stylistic time period within which the ballet was first done, which I respect highly and want to bring to life yet again for our Kansas City community.
Giselle opens on Friday, October 14th at 7:30. Performances continue on the 15th of October at 7:30, a matinee on the 16th at 2 o'clock p.m., then Friday the 21st at 7:30, Saturday the 22nd at 7:30, a matinee on Sunday the 23rd at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. The number to call for more information, for those of you who still call, I know more people probably send emails nowadays, but and that's fine. Whatever you want to do, that's whatever works for you. 816-931-8993 or online at kcballet.org. Speaking with the artistic director, Devin Carney. I'm going to start a little earlier asking you about upcoming things you want to talk about, because last time we ran out of time, I know. There's several things I'm sure you want to talk about. I guess the youth ballet performance is one of those things.
Yes, of course. We have a youth ballet that's connected to our school, and they'll be performing this fall. And, of course, they perform again in the spring, which we're always really excited about. And it's a great opportunity for our students to try out the more difficult roles that they are pursuing to want to have as a career later in their development. So very excited about that.
Yeah. And, go ahead.
And then... of course, we finished Giselle, and we're on to Nutcracker Land, which is really exciting. What sure. a surprise. We're into Nutcracker. although I will say, because of the pandemic, I never, ever thought that our ballet world would not do Nutcracker one year. And, you know, the pandemic just tore that away from all of us. So we're really happy, frankly, to be doing Nutcracker again. And it's just going to be great. And that's a production I choreographed in 2017. And we took the Kennedy Center a few years later. And what's really exciting is that we're going back to the Kennedy Center. So we're going to be doing that great. Thanksgiving week, which I'm really excited about. They invite us to come back. That's our nation's stage in Washington, D.C., which is just such an honor for both Kansas City Ballet and, frankly, also for our city to have that chance to have our name represented on that national stage. And then, of course, we'll do it here at the Kauffman Center.
That's right.
All the way up till Christmas Eve. So I hope you get your tickets as soon as you can, because Nutcracker tends to sell pretty quick.
Sure. Go to the website, kcballet.org, to see the list of dates for it. I'm sure you can probably find one that fits the needs you have.
That's right.
But go, but go and check, by all means. It's a classic. Lots of a lot of activity around, especially youth style activity. Do you want to plug any of that?
You mean particularly about Nutcracker?
Uh huh.
Oh well, geez. Yes, absolutely. There's roles for almost every level of our school. So we have children that are involved in it from age 9 to age 19 from our school, which present, age appropriate work for them. You know, I'm not expecting a 9-year-old to do the Sugar Plum Fairy variation. But, we have baby mice, and we have soldiers, and we have party children, and we have angels and cherubs, and it just goes on and on. But the list, adds up to about 100 student roles in the production, plus around 90 adult roles in the production as well. I made this production specifically with both children and adults, whether that be parents or a date night, to really have a really fun, entertaining evening or afternoon, to really just enjoy the spirit of the holidays. And that's what our Nutcracker is all about, and seeing the holidays through a child's eye, which is that the role of the lead character, which is Clara. And I just love seeing everybody come to the theater and the children dancing in the hallways, in the lobby after the show is over, and just leaving, and everybody's so happy and uplifted. And I love that about Nutcracker. I really do.
Yeah, it is like that. It certainly is.
Yeah.
It's an annual thing, and you get a dispensation for COVID. So it's been as far as I'm concerned, it's straight years without any interruption.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'll do that.
What's really exciting about this year, which I do want to mention, is that, as of now, we are performing without masks, which is really exciting. We're all thrilled to do that, and we're actually rehearsing without masks now, and that slow march out of COVID is truly happening for us, and we're really excited about that and thrilled, and we really want to let everybody know, come back into the theater. The Kauffman Center is wonderful. They've got great air ventilation, lots of space in the lobby, so of course, you're more than welcome to wear a mask if you care to, but there's no restrictions for audience members either.
Yeah. So it's a big spot, so plenty
big.
Of room, plenty of room to breathe safely. Sure. Let's get through these others. Cinderella. Oh, Cinderella.
Okay.
Are you working on the pumpkin carriage now?
We first have to get through Giselle. And through our Nutcracker, we'll get on to bringing Cinderella to life. And it's a new production for me, my choreography. I've never done this one before, so I'm really excited about this. I've always wanted to take on this incredible score, Prokofiev score. It's the full-length score, Prokofiev. It's a hauntingly beautiful score that really has so many thematic moments in it. And it's just such a wonderful fairy tale you can only, again, walk away feeling uplifted. So I'm really excited about that one. And that's coming after the new year, obviously.
Sure.
That's going to be exciting.
One I had to look up, Bliss Point. Tell me about that one.
All right. Well, Okay, so we're closing the year with this incredibly, like, world-class, top-shelf set of choreographers presenting on our stage. These are all choreographers who are literally world-renowned, and there's just no other way to put it. They've had incredible international successful careers, and these are bucket list productions. There's three of them, all in one evening, three different ones. There's no connection between each of them. And they are all works that a dancer hopes to be able to do before their careers are over. And they are also three works that I'm really excited for our audiences to have a chance to see, because we want to bring the absolute best to our Kansas City community, and that's very important to me. And the first work on the program is Mark Morris's Sandpaper, which is Andrew. It's a really exciting music by Leroy Anderson, very upbeat, kind of jazzy, fun. And that's a big number. There's 25 dancers in that. And then after that, there's Petite Mort by Yuri Killian, which we did about 5 or 6 years ago, which is just this beautiful, I call it organic work of four couples that are just so intimately involved with each other in movement quality and partnering. And Yuri Killian is really known for his ability to create seamless partnering moments, and you will see that come to life. And the last work is by a very well-known European choreographer, Alexander Ekman, and the work is called Cacti. And that's basically, you kind of go, what's Cacti all about? What's that? And everybody sees art differently. And I think, Alexander Ekman is really making a statement, because during the course of the show, you'll see the dancers each have a little potted cactus with them at times that they hold up. And that is, everybody sees art differently. And sometimes you don't even need to know exactly what's going on in order to appreciate art. Just like when you look at an impression, a very contemporary painting, you may not know what it is, but you like it. And Cacti is just this incredible dance, drama, theater type production, which just brings Opus 76 to life, the quartet that's recently made a hit scene here in Kansas City. They'll be playing on stage with us, as well as, of course, the Symphony in the Pit, Kansas City Symphony. And the quartet will be walking around the stage with the dancers. That's the big challenge for the musical aspect of this, is they have to memorize the score that they play and be able to do it right there on stage, just like dancers memorize choreography. But it's a very physical work, and it's very, there's a lot of acoustic sound where dancers are making noises with both their voice and with their slapping their chest and banging on boxes. It's a real theatrical work, and I'm so excited to bring to the close the 22-23 season with that work, after having Mark Morris's Sandpaper, which is light, fun, exciting, entertaining, Petite Mort's very introspective and beautiful and seamless work, and then into this work called Cacti to finish it all off, and to finish off our season.
Sounds wonderful. A lot of romance in there, it sounds like.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, the current offering, Giselle, opens on Friday, October the 14th, mm-hmm. continues on the 15th, a matinee on the 16th, and then comes back for the 21st, 22nd, and the 23rd at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. You can learn about any of these shows online at kcballet.org, or you can call their ticket number for more information there, as well as online. And the phone number is 816-931-8993 to hear all about the 22-23 season of the Kansas City Ballet under the direction of the artistic director, Devin Carney, our guest once again on this program. Yeah, I'm sure you're raring and ready to go for all of your shows.
And
my guess would be is that even though your mind is mostly on Giselle, you're also thinking ahead to the other shows at the same time.
For sure. That's one of the most exciting things about the work I get to do is, you know, imagining what this whole season's going to be like. And, of course, we're already working on preparing for the season after that and making plans, which, of course, we'll talk about next season. But really excited about this one and really excited about the great breadth of opportunities our dancers are going to get to stretch their wings, expand their horizons, improve their artistry. And likewise for our audiences to have such a diverse group of selections for our audiences to come and see throughout the course of the season.
As you always do. Devin Carney.
Yeah, of course.
The artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet, Giselle, opens this Friday, October 14th at the Kauffman Center. Thanks so much once again for talking to you. We'll be talking more as time goes by here.
I hope so, and thank you for the time to have a chance to share with you about all we're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Devin. Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Devin Carney, the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet Company. We're going to take a brief break. Then when we come back and return, we'll be talking about more things going on, some new things perhaps, all when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare in theaters or streaming. A heartfelt and empathetic performance by Ana de Armas as troubled Hollywood superstar Marilyn Monroe isn't quite enough to elevate the excessively depressing NC-17 drama Blonde, now on Netflix. This fictionalized account, based on the novel by Joyce Carol Oates, has flashes of brilliance, but dramatically, it's a one-note affair. And with its nearly three-hour running time, viewing becomes an act of endurance. In case you didn't grasp the sledgehammer message, Monroe was exploited and her life was sad. So is this movie. The Hollywood rom-com formula gets a very gay spin with the lighthearted farce Bros. Comedian Billy Eichner plays a podcaster and LGBTQ museum curator convinced that a life without a romantic entanglement is best for him. That is, until he meets a beefcake probate lawyer at a nightclub. Those offended by Frank's sexuality may want to steer clear of this devil-may-care love story, but for many, Bros will be a raunchy breath of fresh air. Smile is a well-made and creepy little supernatural thriller about a malevolent entity that causes people to kill themselves, pass the evil on to a witness, and continue the chain of suicide. The jump scares are all there, and Sochi Bacon gives a strong leading performance. While it's overlong and gets a bit too literal at the finale, Smile provides plenty of chills for horror fans. Sigourney Weaver gets her meatiest role in years in the comic drama The Good House. She plays a struggling New England realtor who hides her alcoholism from her family and herself. What could easily have fallen into Lifetime movie territory gets a boost from a talented, accomplished cast. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI FM. Freeze Frame!
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, producer, host of Art Speak Radio, inviting you to tune in every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m. for Art Speak Radio. We serve up information about the visual and literary arts community, including live interviews with artists, writers, performers, musicians, art organizations, plus art supporters. That's Art Speak Radio every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m., only on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Need some different content to shake up your social media feed? Follow us at KKFI 901 FM for posts from your community radio station. Thanks for supporting us since 1998.
And even before then, I dare say, welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoge, your host. For a number of years now, I would occasionally get an email message from an organization, beautiful yellow, a beautiful yellow motif called Happy Faces Entertainment. And they always, I didn't know much about them other than what I've read, but I always thought, well, one day we'll have the opportunity to talk with those people and we'll get down to it all. And Dennis Porter is with us here today. He is the owner of Happy Faces Entertainment, as well as what sounds like, Dennis, the primary talent in the organization. I'm sure you have others. You can't do all of this yourself. But
True, yes. I'm owner and lead performer, I guess you'd say. But we do have others that also perform with our various shows and entertainments that we do.
When I got an email, it was last week, I guess. It was early last week. It was talking about an event you're having soon at the 15th of October at... I'm terrible at pronouncing names of these places.
Maselli's
in Lawrence, Kansas.
Yes, it's a brand new show. It's called Ruby's High School Reunion. It's just an interactive, fun evening, as if you were going to your high school reunion.
Which I just did last month.
I just went to mine on Saturday, actually.
How ironic for you.
Yes. So Ruby is my drag character, and she leads the whole evening. We get to know some people from our class, you know, that we supposedly went to school with, and find out about them, and have to play some games in there, and some performance also. And so it's just a fun evening of interaction of the Cleaver Beavers. It's Cleaver High. Cleaver Beavers. So everyone gets to have involved. We've been at Maselli's for many years doing murder mysteries, and so this is a slightly different take. There's no murder involved.
Well, depends on what happens after the show.
Yes. So we know there's going to be fabulous food for the evening, and along with the entertainment. So we're looking forward to it. The idea came out of actually one of our murder mysteries, and changed it up a little bit. I'm a variety entertainer doing all sorts of things for all ages, from kids to adults, and clowning and drag and magic and storytelling and game show hosts and murder mysteries, as we mentioned. So it's great to get a full show out there for Ruby. And just as is my whole kind of passion of life and my career is to make people laugh and smile.
Was Ruby part of Cleaver, the Cleaver class of whatever it is?
Technically, yes. Uh-huh. But I can't give away any more than that.
Oh, I see.
So you have to come to the show.
So your old classmate,
right,
Ruby,
yes,
will be there. I guess she's sort of the master of ceremonies.
Correct.
Of the
yeah.
evening.
Leading the fun through the evening of all the activities and involvement.
I wonder how many people will tell you, I had more fun at this than I did my actual reunion. And it depends on your school. Ours was wonderful, for
Definitely.
Instance. Ours was well planned and was very, very nice.
And this is the opportunity for you to have the reunion you wanted, or, you know, maybe just another great one. So someone said, well, but maybe if you didn't like high school. Great, you get to make up your own high school, which is part of the fun of it. You know, we pretend that everybody in the room, no matter what age, all went to high school at the same time for this reunion. So, because we talk about people in our class,
uh-huh.
But they're all ages and things. So that's the fun of theater, having some fun and pretending. And
now this will be on October the 15th at
Maselli's.
I'm going to let you say it okay. Every time it comes up. Do you want them to call the number I have down for you, actually, or do you want them to call Maselli's?
The easiest thing to do, actually, is just go to the website, happyfacesentertainment.biz.
Okay.
If you do /tickets, that takes you directly there, and so you can get all the information details when it is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that sounds exciting for people that... always miss theirs or didn't want to go to theirs. And there are people
yes.
like that.
And I always like to say, while it's highly interactive, everybody gets a chance to participate, you also get to decide how much participation you want to involve in with that. So
interactive.
Yes. So if you're more of a, you're willing to get up and doing some things in front of others, you have that chance. Or if you kind of more just want to enjoy, you can also do that.
Sure. Well, that's the first event that I have.
Yes.
But you might have others along the way. Let's just look. Well, you talked about murder mysteries, so let's go into that. There's more of those popping up all around. Where do you all perform? Is it a certain number of places kind of rotating, or?
We actually, most of our events are private events that we do. We've had some local places that we've done public shows on a regular basis. That all changed in the past couple of years, and so we're getting back to doing some more public shows. Miscellies and Lawrence were usually out there a couple times a year for that. However, coming up, we're returning to the Merriam Community Center, part of the Merriam Parks and Recreation, on Friday, October 21st, with a public show. You can come out and have its drinks in the show, and it's our A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Murder.
Ah.
So if you don't know the reference already, it's a Broadway-themed show. So it's an interactive show. We have a couple of performers, and then about 8 characters actually come from the audience. So before we start, we get some volunteers that say, yeah, I'm willing to play a character, have a little bit more fun with this, and get involved. And if you like Broadway, there's the challenge of see if you can figure out all the references to Broadway shows we put in there, and we have packed them in various ways, which is fun.
All the performers will be in togas, I assume.
No togas.
No togas.
No. Actually, it's the opening night of a musical review, Helfenoka. Oh, pardon me. That's the abbreviated version of Hello, Phantom of the Oklahoma Annie. Uh-huh. So that's our kind of show within the show there. So we're celebrating the opening night on Broadway, and then things go awry, as happens with murder mysteries.
Yeah, things often do go awry, don't they? Yeah, I noticed in shows at other places, and I'm not pinning down happy faces here, but usually the victim usually turns out to be the cop later on, or the detective.
You'll have to find out. Yeah. Casey Mystery Players is sometimes a little different. We always blatantly say we're a comedy show disguised as a murder mystery. So you're just coming out to have fun. There is a murder mystery to figure out, and you get to do that guess at the end and win some fabulous prizes.
Do you have a regular core of people that you use?
Yes, we do. Actually, all our scripts are written and performed by Kansas City performers. So I know who you're going to get if you call me for a murder mystery. It's not I have this group of people 500 miles away that are hopefully rehearsing what I've sent them. Uh-huh. And we've also written them these ourselves. So it's a Kansas City homegrown group. Many of us worked with each other with other organizations. We've been doing murder mysteries for over 15 years, at least, amongst us core performers. And then about 5 years ago, Casey Mystery Players got incorporated into Happy Faces Entertainment. So now we're all together in one happy umbrella.
If someone is interested in future performances, or at least locations, say they don't want to go out to Lawrence,
right.
Leave that for the Lawrence folks. but Merriam would be fine for them.
Yes.
Are there other locations where you often are at, or is that on a if they invite us kind of situation?
We do not currently have anything scheduled right now for public shows. That's just kind of ongoing. We're really kind of at this point getting back to finding maybe a location since over the past couple of years we haven't been able to do that.
Sure.
We do holiday parties and corporate events. A lot of those are starting to book those and private things. And I even do them in libraries for teens and adults. So I've taken that out throughout the region over the summer for summer reading programs. So various.
Mr. COVID reared his ugly head and kind of changed things around probably for you as well.
Definitely. Fortunately, creativity is in my body and soul. So that's what I was able to figure out all those years and keep creating smiles and laughter through it all.
Well, let's talk more about these corporate events. Is that to, it differs from business to business, but I find that they want, I'm stretching myself here, they want their people to learn to work together better. And sometimes they'll book something like this to help make that happen. Says, we need to get closer as a group. We need to interact better with each other. Something like this might help them.
Yes, and we actually provide a variety of different ways to do that. So sometimes we have more team building, as in you're actually going to have to work together with other people and figure out your skill sets and how to manage it. Sometimes it's just, you know, coming up on the holiday seasons, they have holiday parties. They just want entertainment.
I see.
So we'll just come out and some of those we'll do. We do game show parties. that's what we call them. We recreate television game shows.
The audience gets to play.
And with private events, especially corporate events, we frequently get their information and incorporate that into the trivia or the games that they play. I was just talking with someone the other day. We're going back to, I think, for our fourth year of events with them for their holiday party. And we're like, okay, let's mix it up here with some different games and different stuff. So,
do you make up the games or do you emulate game shows that are already established?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
So we might do a little name that tune with that and some trivia that everyone can play. I actually acquired... I don't want to say stole.
you can say it here.
There was a game on a game show, Shop Till You Drop, and one of their many games in there was which is older. And so they gave you a person and a product, and then you have to guess which is older. So we do that, and I have celebrities, and frequently it's like, which is older, Harrison Ford or the Ford Mustang?
Betty White
or Betty Boop?
That also is a hard one. Yeah.
But then we could also pull in and say, your CEO, Bob Smith, or, you know, some other product. So we can have fun with that.
If they're smart, Bob will always be the youngest. If they're smart. You have a character. You probably have a character in all of them that you play, but
Yes, various characters. For the game show parties, I'm Denny Rayburn.
Uh-huh.
For those that aren't familiar with Match Game from the 70s, Gene Rayburn.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so that's a homage to him. It fit very well, partially because I have a yellow plaid jacket that I wear for it, which is very appropriate. And also, my middle name is Ray, so being able to just change up, you know, to Denny Rayburn, then...
Do you have the classic long, thin microphone that Rayburn used to carry with
him? I do now. Many years I was searching for one that would not have a wire connected to the sound system, but we have a version now that's wireless that I can actually carry around and have that look, which is
sure.
fun.
Sure. Well, he was known for that.
Yes.
I'm not sure why, but I guess he liked to get... Well, maybe in the 70s, they didn't have probably lavaliers that worked that well. Mm. But so he would carry the microphone around with him.
Well, even still today, you know, on Price is Right, Drew Carey's carrying a long one just to go with that kind of feel of the game show host. I feel like it's kind of just a fun nod to history because, you know, nowadays, Drew doesn't need to be carrying a microphone around. They can figure out other ways.
Oh, no, they can pin it on his... on his lapel, very easily to do. But you would think he'd want to keep both arms free because sometimes on the show he does, they get excited and they want to come up and just hug him. And
right.
This is for protection only. I would think he'd want both hands free.
Sure.
Yeah, game shows are kind of fun, aren't they? The celebrities were known for a time for doing game shows. Do you have any... impersonated celebrities that you use, for instance?
Not specifically. No. I'm not an impersonator.
I see.
By much means, even though I will say Match Game is one of our favorites. Actually watch it almost every night before going to bed.
Sure.
And that, you know, that was the whole panel of celebrities that were doing the shows.
A lot of the times it was Betty White.
She
was known for that one. She was known for Password because her late husband, Alan Ludden, was the host of the show. And I guess they met when she did Password several times.
Okay.
But she was known for that along with her acting. She had an acting career as well.
Right.
Yeah. Known for Golden Girls and Mary Tyler Moore Show and all that. But she was on a lot of game shows. She put in a lot of time on those game shows. And got profile of her got way up there. So that was a thing that they could easily do and all that. And of course, Hollywood Squares, you would want Paul Lynn.
Well, yes, definitely.
Of course you would want Paul Lynn. Yeah. So awesome. You know, so that guy goes along with the game shows that you do. Yeah. Do the people in the audience get to participate as the celebrity? I'm just guessing now. I don't know.
We haven't done that. We've done Match Game before. One of our favorite ones, we did a retirement. And so the retiree was the contestant. And then we had coworkers as the celebrity panel. And it kind of was, it was almost in reverse that the celebrities were having to match the retiree instead of vice versa. So it was a fun way to take a fun game and mix it around.
One of our speech teachers, way back in high school days, decided to do the dating game. Now that was difficult. Because how could you not know the voice of the woman asking you the question? Right. She was in the class, for goodness sake. A lot of fun there with that.
Yeah.
And that's part of what you do, I guess, with the corporate events and things like
that. Yeah, and those kind of go for different things. I even do versions of those in libraries with teens and for private
parties.
Let's
talk about libraries. What kind of presentations do you do in any particular library system?
Well, I've been doing libraries since, I think I looked up 2006 here in Kansas City with the Mid-Continent Library System. But in the summer, I travel throughout the region. So this past summer between June and July, I was in four states, did about 100 different programs. Most of those in the summer are geared to kids for the summer reading program, which is interactive storytelling and magic, those type things. But along the way, also did some murder mysteries for the teens and adults. Might have even had a game show party thrown in there too. And then throughout the year, we'll hit some other ones. I was just up in St. Joe at the public library for a murder mystery with them just a couple weeks ago. So it's a full-time year-round opportunity. The summers just are busier because of summer reading program with that. And getting out to as much fun and excitement for everybody in different areas.
Sure. Now, I missed. I tried to go down the list, but I don't always. I get distracted.
Sure.
When I hear something interesting and fun, I kind of go to that.
Yes.
But clown organization, you're a founding member, did it say, of the Northland Clown Guild?
I am a charter member of the Northland Clown Guild. So for over 30 years, I've been a clown. That's my oldest character, I guess, that's still around. Professional circus style clowning in different ways. And every year, well, we're back to it now. The Clown Alley does a free workshop. It's a one day coming up on October 15th for your daytime. It's a 10 to 4 up at the NKC, North Kansas City Library. And it's just for people to come in, see what's involved in clowning and being a clown, give them little opportunity to see about the costume and makeup, the building a character, some of the skills that you might use or doing it. And at the end of the day, they can go, hey, I think this would be a good fit for me. I'd like to get out there and do some clowning, create some smiles and laughter with people through clown. Or some people go, oh, this is a little bit more work than I thought.
It is a lot of work.
So it's just a free way for people to come in, learn a little bit more, and see if they want to get into it. And then we're a not-for-profit organization, Northland Clown Guild, and we meet once a month for education and then find as many opportunities in the community to be out and use that education through clowning. So we do the Snake Saturday Parade every year we've existed to hit some other places. We'll be up to the Step Up for Downs Walk at Arrowhead here in a couple of weeks and different places wherever we can, shed some smiles and laughter.
And you have a workshop coming soon?
Yes, that's the Saturday, October 15th.
Okay.
So that's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the North Kansas City Public Library.
Okay, the one by North Kansas City High School.
Yes.
Not a Mid-Continent library.
Correct.
In this case.
Yes. Okay. It's its own library. It is not a part of a library system.
Right, and you want them to register with you ahead of time so
you don't have to, but you can, just to kind of give us a heads up with that. That's at northlandclownguild.com.
Okay.
So they can get there if they want some more details on that.
Dennis's website is happyfacesentertainment.biz.
Yes.
And you can put slash tickets if you're interested in tickets, I guess, for any of these events for that.
Well, for the upcoming, for Ruby's High School Reunion and the Broadway Murder Mystery, both are on there. There are no tickets required for the workshop, so you can just wake up Saturday morning, October 15th, and go, hey, you know, I think I'll go to that. Come on down.
I guess you know you're in trouble if they come in full makeup. But that is probably one of the things they need to learn. I was a cameraman many years ago for Wizzo the Clown.
Oh, great.
And he always told us, he said, no, the makeup is the hardest thing.
For some people, yeah. So, and there's that's a skill set you got to learn in itself. And some people have asked me how I do my drag makeup so well. I'm like, well, I started with clown makeup, and then you learn skills and sets, and you put it together. And also, I have a theater background. I have a theater and business degree, so I had that theater training.
That's an interesting combination. Yeah. But it probably helps you when you have a business like this.
Very much. I went to William Jewell, and they allowed for self-designing a major. Ah. And I saw someone who was doing business in sports. I went, well, if they can do that, I could do business in theater. And so now I'm running a business that does theater. So I'm using my whole degree very nicely.
So it's happyfacesentertainment.biz. And there was a phone number I hesitate to give people because I never know when it's going to be a phone that'll ring in the middle of the night and wake you up. And I don't want the responsibility for that. Is it okay to give this
309?
816-309-2460 or go to his website, happyfacesentertainment.biz, to learn all about Happy Faces Entertainment. And as you heard, the smiling faces are a big part of what you do.
Yes.
Entertaining and making people happy and helping them to learn and things like that. That Marcellus. That's Ruby's High School Reunion on October the 15th. That's in Lawrence. The clown workshop is through the Northland Clown Guild. Okay, remember that. The murder mysteries, I guess, you can read about on the website as well.
Yes. Yeah.
As well. Corporate events, if you're interested in that, if you need your team to work together better, get some inclusive things here.
Yes.
Fun inclusive things.
Right.
That they can do. Library events, of course. I guess the library closest to me has a lot of people coming all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
You're probably part of that as well. And other creative ways to entertain. And boy, you've just heard the gamut now, right, things that people can do all that. Yeah. So
we do a little bit of everything. We have smiles for everyone is what we say. And sometimes that's just strolling entertainment through a festival or event. I got a gala this weekend and I'm going to go stroll some magic. And a little something for everyone.
Happyfacesentertainment.biz. And that number once again, 816-309-2460. We've been speaking with Dennis Porter, the owner and big time performer with Happy Faces Entertainment. Glad to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Jazz Canadian, as you can see, is sitting by waiting to go on. He's got a lot of jazz planned for us this afternoon.
Nothing but
jazz. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3 here on KKFI. Then the blues from 3 to 6. All right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.